Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Around 10,000 properties currently being used for short-term lets could be suitable for long-term housing. This is according to a recent briefing note which was prepared for the government. However, laws to regulate the so-called Airbnb sector have been long promised but not made into law, and the hospitality industry is concerned that the bill could remove holiday homes from tourism hotspots in the likes of the Wild Atlantic Way, damaging local economies. Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by Senator Mary Fitzpatrick of Fianna Fáil and Ona Mara Walsh, Chief Executive of the Tourism Industry Federation. You're both welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Mary, the government has been talking about dealing with the short-term let problem for a long time. Peter Burke, when he was the Minister of State with responsibility for planning, he said that these new rules would be in place in 2023. So what's gone wrong? What's been the big delay?
Yeah, it has been talked about for quite a while, and I suppose the first draft regulations and legislation were talked about, as you say, back in the early 2020, actually, it was. We're part of the European Union, though, and I suppose the objective here, it's not an issue that is affecting just Ireland, but it is affecting other European countries as well. And for us to introduce regulations, and there are obviously planning restrictions in place for short-term letting, but to actually introduce a regulation around short-term letting of full properties, now not the original Airbnb model, which was, you know,
a room in your house,
but where you're actually taking a full home in a rent pressure zone, so where there's very high demand for residential housing, those regulations are actually subject to, let's say, a European regulation as well. And the European short-term rental regulation is due to be introduced, and the backstop date for that is the 20th of May 2026. So
there could be another year to run on this.
So the work is already commenced. I suppose the Oireachtas, as you know, Claire, is paralysed at the moment because of the row over speaking in the Dáil, and the Oireachtas committees haven't yet been established as a consequence of that. But it would be my anticipation, and certainly our anticipation, that once the Oireachtas committees are established, then the Oireachtas committees can progress with the bills.
And do you agree that there could be 10,000 homes brought back into long-term let as a result of this?
Yeah, it's an estimate actually from the tourist sector that up to 10,000 homes potentially could be made available for long-term residential use. Really hard to know exactly though, Claire, until the regulation is in place, until the properties are registered. 10,000 additional family homes would be very welcome. They're not going to solve our housing need, but if they're made available in rent pressure zones where there is very high demand for housing, it could mean the difference of teachers, nurses, guards in Stony Batter and Phibsborough, for example, in my own constituency, being able to live locally as opposed to commuting.
Which would make a huge
difference, that would be absolutely welcome.
So, Owen, do you agree with that figure? Mary just said it came from your sector, this figure of 10,000.
Well, I think it came from the Department of Housing and Fortra. It didn't necessarily come from the tourism industry. Mm-hmm. I think, just to back up the truck a little, I think everyone in the tourism industry thinks the short-term rental sector needs to be regulated. It's been a grey zone for far too long, and there needs to be a register, and it's only right and proper that it's brought in by Fortra Ireland, and it'll bring transparency to a sector, and I think that's important. However, I think there just needs to be kind of careful thought put through as to housing needs versus tourism needs, because short-term rentals, self-catering properties, housing homes have been a staple of the Irish tourism product, particularly in regional Ireland, for decades. And if coastal and rural Ireland are denuded of self-catering homes and holiday homes, there's going to be a massive problem in Irish tourism.
There isn't going to be a ban, Owen, is there? There's not going to be a ban here.
No, but if the regulation is too onerous, if the planning requirements are too onerous, you could have a situation whereby self-catering properties and holiday homes are unable to trade or unable to get planning permission to operate as self-catering properties, and therefore won't be allowed to go on the register. So in many ways, the easy work has been done. The register, you know, is about to be created. You know, that should have happened some time ago. And the hard work still has to happen as to who is and who isn't allowed on the register.
Because some people will let out their home for less than 90 days
a
year at the moment. You're saying if they have to apply for planning permission to do that, why would they bother?
Yeah.
Is your argument. argument.
Exactly. Lots and lots of people have holiday homes on the Wild Atlantic Way. You mentioned the Wild Atlantic Way earlier, you know, Killarney, Westport, wherever. They're all rent pressure zones. You know, can say the whole of Connemara is a rent pressure zone. If suddenly they have to take on onerous planning obligations just to let out their home for a couple of weeks or a month during a year, they're going to say no. So you could have a the worst case scenario where you lose lots of holiday homes and self-catering properties in rural and regional Ireland, but you don't get them back into the long-term rental market. They just sit there idle for month after month, and that serves nobody's interests.
So that's where your issue is. Are you saying that you don't have an issue with these properties being regulated in the centre of Dublin and some of them as a result being brought into the long-term rental sector?
Yeah, I think Dublin and certain urban centres, I think some of the short-term rental, some of the apartment blocks with loads and loads of units casually up on booking platforms, I think they should come back to the long-term rental market. But if we have a lazy sort of one-size-fits-all approach, we risk denuding rural and coastal Ireland of holiday homes and self-catering properties. And that is really problematic. For every euro that a tourist spends on accommodation, €2.50 is spent on downstream businesses like restaurants, like pubs, like visitor attractions.
Okay, so how do we prevent the unintended consequence that Owen talks about?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Everybody recognises that tourism is a very significant economic contributor, cultural, social. It's really important, the employment that it brings. So nobody wants to undermine the tourism offering.
Yeah, is there a plan then to avoid that happening?
Yeah, my anticipation, I mean, obviously we need to get to the work of the bill and the regulations and having that in place. My expectation would be that we will engage with the local authorities. We've got 31 independent local authorities who are active on the ground. They know their communities. They serve their communities. They're there dedicated to do that. And they're responsible ordinarily for the implementation and enforcement of planning regulations. So my expectation would be that it will be not an onerous process, that it will be one that will support tourism. But at the same time, I suppose, act as a lever to try and bring some of those properties that are suitable in high demand areas for long-term residential use back into long-term residential use.
So you're saying that each local authority will have to interpret the rules in their own area?
No, they wouldn't have to interpret. The local authorities are already charged with enforcing and implementing national guidelines, national regulations. That's what local authorities do in respect of planning and building and a whole load of other areas. What I'm suggesting is that there will be a register. The register will not be onerous. It will be something that will be supportive of the tourism activity. But that when it comes to the planning element of it, the planning function within every local authority that already exists, and that is their bread and butter, their daily work, will be responsible for planning enforcement if there are planning issues to be enforced. Not every property, Claire, will fall into this category. Like, it is really important to recognise that we're talking about a relatively small percentage of the tourist accommodation overall in the country, and none of these regulations would apply to the original Airbnb model, whereby it was a room in a house or rooms in a house.
But it's the small holiday homes that, you know, that you're worried about in Donegal or in Galway or wherever they might be, Owen. Does that offer you any reassurance? And is it a small part of the business?
Well, the CSO came out with their figures for overseas tourism for last year. They came out just last week with these numbers. And 4 million bed nights were spent by international tourists in self-catering properties and holiday homes. So that's quite sizable. And a big chunk of that...
Is that a reliable figure, do you think?
That is a reliable. It's the CSO number. So, you know, we're not here to question the CSO. They conduct surveys with thousands of international visitors and ask them, did you stay in a hotel? Did you stay in a holiday home or whatever? And they get answers and they issue the numbers accordingly. I think Mary touches on a good point. We have a bit of time. We have about a year now before the EU sort of
deadline
comes into effect. Let's use that time carefully. So I agree we need to get the local authorities, talk to them. We need to get the tourism industry. We need to get the self-catering properties. We need to get the booking platforms to talk about this issue and calibrate it carefully, because there's not a lot of disagreement between myself and Mary. You know, there is a housing crisis in the country, but there was also a very important industry such as tourism. But remember, there's a housing crisis in every part of the country. So if suddenly, you know, housing trumps tourism, everywhere and a one-size-fits-all approach takes place, then you won't have any holiday homes or self-catering properties in Kinsale, in Westport, in Donegal, because there's a housing crisis in all those places. How do you sort of square that circle? It requires a lot of consultation. It requires a lot of discussion. And again, to go back to a point Mary made, you know, let's get that Oireachtas Committee on Tourism and indeed the Oireachtas Committee on Housing together, because it's a housing and tourism, if you like, have to meet somewhere in the middle. Let's get them sitting again, and let's get the discussion underway, because it's really important to get this right.
Let's rock this committee sitting again. It's probably what a lot of people are saying. Short-term lets then not being allowed in rent pressure zones. I mean, that's something that Owen and people in the tourism industry are really concerned about. It would be difficult to put forward an argument and say, well, we should have short-term let properties in those RPZs or rent pressure zones. How do you get around that?
Yeah, I think it's important that we don't talk about a blanket ban or, as Owen said, a one-size-fits-all. We're not saying that there won't be any self-catering accommodation in rent pressure zones. That's not what is being proposed. We do need to work through the detail, as Owen has described. But we do have a situation, Claire, where you have families being accommodated in hotels and guest houses because of the housing shortage, and tourists staying in family homes because they're available on short-term lets. There is room for improvement there. It is a balanced, we do need a balanced approach. It is a combination of a tourism intervention and a housing intervention. It's not an either or. And I do think we can achieve it. We have the time to achieve it. If we could get the Oireachtas committees up and running, that would be really helpful, because it'll allow that work to progress.
Yeah, but there's no doubt about it. Tourism is going to lose beds here on foot of this. I mean, that's a given.
But tourism is also creating beds all the time in the form of new hotels, new guest houses and new self-catering accommodation and glamping and all sorts of offerings. I really don't think we should make this a pitched battle between tourism and housing. I actually believe that, as Owen said, the tourism sector welcomes regulation of accommodation. Mm-hmm. It's a high value tourist offering. Ireland is not a budget tourist destination.
Yeah, but Owen,
and it's in,
but
about Owen, ensuring there's quality there for the tourist offering.
Has your industry accepted this, that you are going to lose the number of nights that you can offer tourists coming to this country?
There is going to be a reduction in tourism accommodation as a result of this legislation. It has to be a fair and pragmatic and sensible reduction. If it's a very significant reduction, it's problematic, because A, you lose the stock, but B, the available bedrooms are the likes of hotels and stuff, and we don't have anything to moderate prices. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful. Other countries have gone down the route of being too prohibitive about short-term rentals and stuff, and they've seen a huge spike in accommodation price, hotel prices and so on, and they've also seen an awful lot of frustrated demand. So we just need to tread carefully. We have a bit of time. There needs to be serious engagement with the industry, with the booking platforms to get this right.
Okay, listen, thank you both for coming in, Senator Mary Fitzpatrick and Owen O'Mara Walsh. Now, in the last few minutes, the Ukrainian Prime Minister Volodymyr Zelensky has been speaking, and among many things, he has said that Ukraine is ready now to sign that minerals deal with the United States. We'll keep across that as he is speaking. Still to come in the next hour, trade tariffs and pulling support for Ukraine, the impact of the Trump administration's overnight decisions. We'll be joined as well by a host of sporting legends, from Michael Carruth to Annalise Murphy, to talk about adjusting to life after high-level sport. And we'll have tips and tricks to up your pancake game on the day when it's pretty much mandatory to eat them. Coming up next, we'll have an update from Rome on the health of the Pope.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.